I invite you to turn with me to our text this morning, which comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, and we will begin in the verse number 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Is that what you're going to do? You just heard what I said and you're going to just sit there? She stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. May God bless the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. One of the things I've shared with you before, an observation that becomes apparent right quick as soon as we start reading the gospel, is that Jesus was a troublemaker. Ever notice that? Trouble just seemed to follow him. And there were two places he managed to get in more trouble than any others: at the dinner table and in church. See, the good, well-behaved religious folk of Jesus' day had so many rules you couldn't keep track. Rules for what to wear, for what to eat, for when to work, rules for what not to wear, what not to eat, when not to work. There was a rule for almost every situation and circumstance under the sun. And while lots of those rules were good, were necessary for living in civility, in respectful community, the problem was that the rules had a way of becoming more important than people. The very people those rules were intended to serve. And since Jesus came into the world to embody God's love for people, why, he clashed with the rules makers and the rules keepers. Over and over again, Jesus was accused by religious leaders of breaking the rules, people who made it clear that messiahs don't touch lepers or work on the Sabbath or forgive adulterers or hang out with sinners. But Jesus made it every bit as clear: this messiah does touch lepers and forgive adulterers and befriend people caught in the grip of sin and break the Sabbath rules when there is good cause to do so. And so this messiah was dangerous, was a troublemaking messiah, one you follow at your own peril. And guess what? He still is. One day Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. Happened to be the Sabbath day. And while he was teaching, this woman came hobbling into the room, all bent over double, a condition she'd been plagued with for 18 long years. We don't know what that might have been like. We're not told here what the exact source of her condition was, only that it was spiritual in origin. Luke tells us it was a spirit that had crippled her all this time. Later on, Jesus said it was Satan who had bound her, 18 years of that bondage. We're also not told whether she was asking for help, only that for 18 long years she has strained to see the sun, the moon, the stars. For 18 years she's grown accustomed to looking down, or maybe slight ahead, but never up, at least not without difficulty. 18 years of turning from side to side just to see what others can see at a glance until Jesus comes along. You and I live in a world skeptical at best of healing and miracles. 2 years ago this month, when I was diagnosed with leukemia, I entered a whole new world, one I hadn't known about, a world of medical science and technology, a world that has been so instrumental in my journey toward healing. And yet it is also a world where my prayers and those of so many people around me were sometimes gently dismissed by those caring for me. Not always, but sometimes. And not in so many words, but more like being met with a polite change of the subject, you know. The writer Frederick Buechner says those who choose not to believe in the miraculous healings of Jesus or those healings done in his name have any number of conclusions to reach for explaining it all away, like, unless you can provide medical evidence to prove a miracle has happened, well, you can assume that a miracle has not happened. Or, if medical experts agree that a healing can't be explained by way of present scientific knowledge and something inexplicable has happened, then you can chalk it up to deficiencies in present scientific knowledge. In other words, if we don't have an explanation yet, just wait. We'll find one, because it can't be God. Or if otherwise intelligent human beings are still convinced, despite all argument to the contrary, that it's God who healed them, well, then you can assume their sickness, like its cure, was psychological, just in their head. And that, in a nutshell, is the mindset of our high-tech world, a mindset with no room for the voice of a compassionate Jesus who says, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." See, Jesus came into this world to take those bent over double and set them free, came to allow them, to allow us to stand up straight, to stand up tall, all 6 feet 9 inches of us. And a little less for you all. To stand up into the fullness of who God created us to be. Because there are all kinds of things that can bend us over, right? Can keep us from standing up straight. Some of us have gotten bent over by an inability to forgive or to be forgiven. There's been a wounding in our lives, something that's been done to us, or something we did to somebody else, and the only path to healing that wound is to be forgiven, but forgiveness has been withheld, or maybe is still being withheld, and slowly but surely the human spirit gets bent over by that withholding, bent over to the point where we can only look down, not up. Maybe that, or maybe it's shame that has bound us. Maybe somewhere along the line, at some point of great vulnerability in your life, you needed a message affirming your basic value as a human being, but that message was withheld, and instead you were told, either explicitly or through some kind of shunning, that you weren't good enough to get in on that message. See, shame is the belief or mindset that something's wrong with us. It's not just feeling bad about our behavior, which is what guilt is. Rather, it's the conviction that we are somehow deficient, defective, of no worth as a human being, that we're damaged goods. And when that's the message we've been given, then we start doing this inner translation thing. Somebody says, "I don't agree with you." What does that mean? Well, it means that person has a perspective and you have a perspective and they are not the same perspective. Period. That's all it means. But when you've been damaged by shame, then having somebody disagree with you comes to mean, well, I must be stupid for thinking that way. Or making a mistake translates, I am somehow less of a person. Or spilling your milk means I'm a klutz. Or somebody else having something positive happen to them, a job upgrade, a new car, a new romance means, well, God must love that other person more than God loves me. And on it goes. Kids misbehaving translates, I'm a lousy parent. My inability to live up to some Christian formula means I'm a defective Christian. My spouse feels sad means I'm a lousy, miserable husband or wife, and I don't need to go on. That's too many examples already. Shame cripples the human spirit, bends it over double, means all we can see is down, not up. Bent over by the absence of forgiveness. Bent over by shame, or maybe you've been bent over by injustice or racism or economic insecurity or some form of abuse. Is something in that list your deal? This past week marked the national observance of the 400-year anniversary of the arrival of human slaves in this country, a shameful legacy of exploitation, bondage, and evil not taught in the history books I grew up with. We learned about the Mayflower, not the white lion or treasure slave ship that kidnapped Africans. And that defining moment on the shores of the Chesapeake in southern Virginia coded inequality in both law and custom, resulting in 400 years of injustice. It is in our DNA as a nation. That which continues to bend oppressed people over and over and over again. So, are you bent over these days? Maybe for so long you don't even recognize being bent over anymore, having become so used to looking down. I can't help but think that Jesus' accusers here are every bit as bent over as the bent over woman in the story, so glued to their legalism and rules keeping that they can't stand up and see a miracle even when it happened right in front of them. There's a story I've told before, one I find so powerful that it bears repeating. I was talking to my brother this week on the phone. He lives in the Philippines. It's cool that we can talk on two sides of the world. And I said, have I told you this before? And I said, you know, we're going to get to a point where every sentence we start, have I told you this before? So here's one I know I told before. It was the time our daughter Nina went to Los Angeles to visit her roommate Ashley. Had a summer social work internship, Ashley did, at a homeless shelter, one run by a church. Well, Saturday night, Ashley and Nina offered to babysit the daughter of the pastor's family. Pastor's kid, you know, she gets it. Meaning they took this little girl to the movies, The Princess Diaries, being shown at this huge, elegant theater in Hollywood. Tickets were $18, included tea after the show. Actresses in the lobby dressed up as movie princesses down through history, even had the actual dresses worn in The Princess Diaries on display. A grand piano serenading the little girls in their princess outfits and gowns. And just as the show was about to begin, the evening's host stepped up and yelled, "Princesses, are you ready?" To which all the little girls squealed, "Yes, yes, we're ready." And finally the show began. Nina described it as the most bizarre movie-going experience she'd ever seen in her life. The next night, Sunday night, She and Ashley went to a street corner, also in Hollywood, among the most notorious corners for drug dealing and prostitution in all Los Angeles. Ashley, through her work at the shelter, had come to know many of the people working the streets there in that seemingly godforsaken place. So they walked around asking people if they could pray for them before their night of sadness and exploitation got underway. And Nina told of a young male prostitute she met, about to step into that frightening world all over again. This mere child who said that, yes, she would love to have her pray for him. And so my daughter stood and held him, this beloved child of God, and prayed God's love into and over and around him. And as she told me the story, Nina said, here was a person I would never have thought I could touch, let alone come near, but there I was holding him by the grace of God and praying for him. Two moments, same city, just hours and blocks apart, a princess and a prostitute, almost like being on two different planets. And I don't get that, how such disparity exists. But people get bent over for all kind of reasons, all kind of ways. People get bent over. And Jesus came into this world to deliver people from what has bent and bound them, came to invite them to stand up straight. And guess what? He calls us to join him, to join him in loving people into that freedom. Luke tells us that despite the opposition to come, despite those who would try and reign on this sacred moment, he tells us Jesus healed this woman. She didn't even ask for it. That's how bent over she was. But his heart was moved to see her set free. And we read that immediately she stood up. For the first time in 18 years, she stood up straight and praised Almighty God.